that back around, back out there, and then you can
leave, I can see it.
Leave it on Day Road to come to. Take a left on Day Road, and you go down like you're going to go to Bear Creek Bed and Breakfast, I believe, which is Keithley. Mm-hmm. And right when you turn on Keithley, if you look to the left there, that's where Mr. Looper's house sat.
So spring, it gets warm, if not, got it.
So we'll show you this in just a second. My question was, though, you know, it is a different type of business somewhat. Normally, if it's a lesser density use, we would allow it to go ahead and just move in and start operating. However, because this is a little different circumstance, I just need to know if you want to hear that.
How close is the bed and breakfast?
Oh, the bed and breakfast is not anywhere near, but there's a neighbor right next door that I think has a bakery, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yes,
is it a commercial bakery?
Y'all heard as much as I heard. Putting
pies in the window.
176, you know, of course, you come down, you know, like I say, the Bay Road, and I hear, was that it right there, Mr.?
You think that's it?
No, actually, I thought it was right here. This is it right here.
Right here?
Yes.
Let's see what it comes up.
That's the guy that has the bakery, if I'm not mistaken, Mueller, and the other
and that's
place.
The distance there?
No, it's right here, Dan.
Right here.
But this is the turnoff to go down towards.
He's skipping right. Go down one. Go south. Right there.
There we go. That's what I was thinking, because this is the big shop building that he had.
Okay. Is it fenced or anything?
No.
There's no fencing.
No. There may be some
landscape.
He sits on top of the hill. And the shop building, of course, you have this space here. I mean, this is a nice, pretty piece of property, and you know, and he's got fences for like his cows and stuff. He had cows.
I'm talking about fencing from residential to commercial.
No.
Above front.
But it doesn't look like there's much residential.
There's not a lot out there. The problem is that this individual.
Just like if I'm getting you on.
This individual does live.
let me blow it up for you, Eddie. Just hold on a half a second. I'm sorry.
Good thing Mr. Lawson isn't here to commend us on our technology now.
Technology's good.
Operator error.
It is operator error. I'm sorry, folks.
You're okay.
Let me take it back out to about 1,000. I can't help it. Eddie asked for it late, you know?
I know.
That's right there. Okay. I'm not going to mess with it, Eddie. There you go.
Close enough.
You'll see this property line right here. That's the individual, and it's right on the driveway. His house sits right there close. His concern when he came through originally was that he was always hearing the trucks and the noise and everything like that. You know, there are down in this area too. I believe we just permitted the brandy.
Distillery.
I believe right just a little bit further. So there's not been much change, like you say.
So you can get brandy and croissants.
It's not really densely populated or anything like that.
Take your trash.
But I know that it can be a sensitive issue due to the nature of the business, and I just need to inform this individual whether you want to hear the whole project or whether he can just move on in and start.
I think we want to hear it. I mean, what's the will of the commission? Certainly.
I agree.
I think we need to hear
the
trucks
he's
going to have.
I think generally,
right now he owns three.
Yeah. But
that doesn't mean business couldn't boom.
Yeah. So, but right now,
and there's an issue
and
of cleaning out and stuff like that.
And whether or not there's storage of.
Okay, so we will tell them that they want to hear that. Mm-hmm. Lastly, for those of you that are familiar with Villa GIS on Highway 77.
Yeah, we're here.
This is what about Looper's.
Okay, come on up. Oh. I'll guess. This is just my...
That's all right. Yes, if you had some questions, I didn't want to...
So who are you?
I am Frank Epps.
Okay, Frank Epps.
I am one of the owners.
Okay.
And we talked to the Looper's about... You know, purchasing their home, and we wanted to come before you first and ask you, because we knew he said he had this permit. We wanted to make sure that permit was transferable over to us before we went any farther with our project. So,
I've got a question.
Okay.
It looks like know if that's blown up where we can see it, but the shop is on the north side right there.
That's correct.
And then there's a house on the south side, right?
That's correct.
So, garbage truck business, what time do you start?
Normally, it kind of depends. The commercial trucks will roll at 6, and one of the residential trucks will roll at 7. So there's only two trucks that roll out in the morning right now. And then they're gone all day, and then they come back in at about 3 or 4 o'clock.
And where do they get cleaned out and that kind of stuff?
At the Taney County Transfer Station. That's kind of why we were looking at the north of town, because we're close. We're 8 minutes from the transfer station.
So what about washed out? Do they get washed out much?
You're not allowed to wash the inside of the trucks out.
You're not?
No.
Because of the stuff that might
go into the can only dump them at the transfer station, and that's it.
And your intention to store those inside this building?
That is correct. That's what I thought. Everything that we have, what we plan and why we're looking at the shop building, is to house it inside the building.
So if there was something there that said no outside storage of equipment, that wouldn't be a problem?
The only thing that we ask is if, you know, there's going to be certain times if we have a truck broke down, it may have to sit outside the building, or if we have any dumpsters that we're bringing in that we set off on occasions, because most of our stuff won't be stored on site like that. There's big enough room, and there's a, you can't really see it right there, but he's got a big RV kind of canopy, and that we can park some of our curbside carts under it.
Right here?
Right in there. But yeah, most of everything we have will go inside the building, because it's about a 5,500 square foot building.
But you do supply the containers for the customers.
That's correct. On occasion, there will be some of those stacked.
I guess where I was thinking when I was asking the question is that would somewhat limit how many vehicles you can have.
Yeah, because I think the permit now is, 10 outside the building?
I believe he had a total of 10 on site.
How far behind the house is the property?
That black line should be the property line there. Now, going this way, Dan, can you...
Back here, yeah,
I think he's looking... No, he's looking this way.
It's 13 acres.
Oh, my God. My God. That looks like...
13 acres goes like a landing strip. That other ridge.
It's probably an acre.
So, if you needed to keep them out of sight, you could probably move them on back to...
That plant.
That's correct. Because see the...
13 acres. I guess it is.
Yeah, right. See where the house is? There's a big old parking space that kind of blocks the view.
This is hard to see. I don't believe you can really see the house from the street. Maybe just the top of it.
That's correct.
Because it does go kind of, it swells up and over. And this is about as far away as you can get from this house here.
Right. But, I mean, you have to move back farther.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, they would own this. So.
Okay, but are there two houses right here? And one of which is on the property under consideration, and the other one isn't?
This property here is all the property that Mr. Looper owns.
Okay, the one to the south is the bakery.
This belongs to...
It's a rental house.
To...
I spoke to the...
Yeah, I don't know. Mueller, I think, is the name on it.
Yeah, I spoke... I think his granddaughter or something lives in it. He's written it to her.
This is the gentleman that came in to get this... make sure that this got through.
I don't know why, and maybe this was after this all. I do not remember this one, but if it was 2 years ago. Anyway.
You were here.
In general, around residential or agriculture, we generally have some type of landscape buffer if it's approved for commercial, whether that's a fence or landscape buffering.
That's what the code book states, but this one did not ever get that.
That is the one thing that concerns me.
Yeah, because I don't have a house that we can fix. There's a brush,
there's a row of brush, but there's not anything.
Not what we would consider a landscape buffer.
So I suppose, you know, they could put a privacy fence through here. They could do some extra planting, but it is required as a rule. Yes, required.
Okay, that's the one thing where coming back through would be an advantage to get that fixed. So you might know that right up front. That's something that at least I would ask for. They may not.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, they've landscaped that hill right there between the two homes. And I can't remember if he planted like a shrubs kind of thing through there, but you can't really see that house next to it. I do remember that.
But it is something that we have in our code as far as the requirement. And generally speaking, it's been some type of fencing, you know, unless you've got a really wide 50-foot buffer out.
There's not, between the house and here, there's not a tremendous amount of room.
Right.
There is a long way from the shop, but that's why I thought maybe some kind of a privacy fence might be the way.
That would make more sense. Not all the way down the whole 13 acres, just
between the two.
But we do want to hear this as a Division 3.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to.
Okay.
Mr. Epps, you plan on living in the home on site?
That's correct.
Okay. So odor control during certain seasons, it's inherent for garbage truck to have an odor to it.
Usually it's the trash. So when we dump out every evening, so when the trucks come back, they're pretty well cleaned out.
Well, I guess where I'm going is, well, if it starts to have an issue, you probably want to take care of it.
Yeah, we have, they have some crystals that you can put in there. Typically, once you dump them out, it's not that much of an issue because it dries out, you know, between the transfer station and where you're going. So there's not usually much of an issue unless you do have an occasional truck park there.
Well, I'm in charge of the transfer station. That's one of my other duties in the county. And having seen many garbage trucks go through there on what they call swamp days after the rain, again, the trash will come in very wet and go all over the floor. And that slop also oozes through the bottom of the truck and gets on the exhaust. So the truck will leave empty and will have an odor to it. Doesn't happen all the time, but my concern would be for the neighbor next door. But if you're going to live there, I think you would do your best to make sure.
Yeah, and 95% of our business is residential. We don't get into that heavier commercial stuff.
Which is
pretty sloppy. You've been there.
I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order?
That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Okay, do I hear a motion to?
I've got an issue.
Okay, Mr. Edwards.
I'd like to suggest to Eddie that from now or next time it happens or from now on, we require a plot plan to be submitted. If it doesn't meet the specs, it doesn't meet our code, I think it ought to be rejected without ever coming to us. I think you ought to be told right up front that Eddie was good enough to go back and change this like we suggested, but that may not happen the next time, and I don't think we ought to be hearing cases, if we have it to happen, when they submit a plot plan that doesn't meet our code. I think it ought to be turned down right there and told there are certain requirements you're not compliant with.
And you're specifically referring to the unbuildable lots.
Right. That's what I brought it up.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Wolf stated last month that our code does not prohibit anybody platting a lot that's not buildable. Now, in the past, I have taken plats that people have wanted me to sign and said, I will not sign this with that lot there with the lot number because there's too many easements or whatever the deal might be across. And that's one of the reasons that I sent you the letter that along with your packet this time because there are some major issues there that I want to make sure. And I'm not trying to tell you guys what to do or anything like that, but it's not in my power to set any rules and regulations that aren't black and white. And as the statement was made, there's nothing in the code book that says we cannot plat a lot in an easement. The code just says you can't build on it. That does behoove us as a staff then to make sure that we catch that. And
it's a hard job.
That doesn't always happen because it may be 10 or 15 years down the line and somebody not even.
I don't see why we allow lots to be planted that can't be built on.
And I will.
That's what my concern is.
I will talk with Bob Paulson to see because, I mean, over at Whispering Meadows, I just told those guys I am not going to take this plat like this. Now, whether I was correct to do that or not, I said you will need to move this off and take the lot number off of it so that it is not platted as a usable lot. And my concern is that, you know, that we won't catch those because it doesn't happen. And then we're up the creek.
Well, my concern is that somewhere down the line, we have a case where there's a block plan that doesn't meet our requirements. And evidently, on the start, from what Eddie said last month, this guy had no problem selling that lot to somebody, even though they're buying it for a residential, but it ain't a residential lot.
No.
Because it didn't meet the requirements. And I would hate to think that we accepted a plot plan that put somebody in that position, and that's my concern.
Well, but that's also the function of the concept hearing.
Right.
When you look at that and counsel is advised.
I mean, if it clearly violates something, what we would call an absolute policy, then it is our job to say, guys, we can't take this before then.
Okay.
But if it doesn't clearly violate an absolute policy and they want to make application, I'm bound to bring that before you guys. Now, my thinking is, while we're on the subject, if they want to make a little extra money off this lot, then plat it as one big old lot and sell it for more.
Yeah, right.
But that way, the person that maybe in the future would want to split it would have to come through, and then we would catch that. But I'm telling you, if I split this like that, and Sean comes in and buys two lots from me, he builds his house, and he gets a little older, decides he wants to sell it off, this person's going to come in and say, it's a platted lot, I want to buy it, and I want to build on it. Well, they may go ahead and buy it, and they'd be able to legally transfer it, but then he's not going to be able to build on it. And then we're going to go ahead and board of adjustment, they're going to ask for all kinds of things, and he's just going to tie things
That's part of the problem. They're able to build on it, they're just not allowed to build
exactly
on it,
right.
And that's where the real problem is, exactly. Because that center line of that pole is 50 feet away on those big easements like that one feeding into a substation. And so you walk out there, there's no line maybe if it's a certain kind of build. And they don't realize that there's not a line drawn there. It's an invisible easement. And they put that house, garage, whatever, right in the middle of that easement.
And they are some buildings also.
They will. One more thing, gentlemen. I believe in your concept hearing for your packet next week, you have a Castle Rock on there. This is going to be an extension to Castle Rock. They still don't have their bridge in that was required, if you remember.
That's a 1,000-acre thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they did not show up for their pre-application conference, so we cannot bring them before you for concept next week. We've tried to contact them and haven't heard from them or anything. So,
did you notify them?
We've tried again too, and they just they didn't show up.
Okay, motion to adjourn. Mr. Edwards. So adjourn.
Okay. I don't have anything. Cousin Randall's supposed to be saving everything for us.
It's an important job.
This is pretty fun, but those guys back here are landlocked.